Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we're diving into what seems like a niche hobby, but it's one way a whole lot of trans people, myself included, first got to explore our complicated feelings on gender. Let's talk trans tabletop role-playing games. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who plays her roles with aplomb, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Our returning guest is Zoe Tunnell, a trans lesbian writer based out of New Jersey who's worked on properties like Marvel and Godzilla, as well as co-creating the series Blade Maidens. Welcome back, Zoe.
Hello. Glad to be back.
Okay, so I want to let you talk a little bit more about Blade Maidens, which you did a little bit last episode, but it is ding-dang amazing, and more people need to know about it. So do you want to tell people what it is and where they can find it?
Absolutely. Blade Maidens is a comic series created by myself and Valentine M. Smith, and it's available entirely for free at www.blademaidens.com. We'll be coming to print via Dark Horse Comics in the future, collecting the first volume. And it follows initially two characters, Sir and Rowan. Sir is a grizzled, we call them gender shrug, because she doesn't really care about her gender, it's whatever. Gender shrug mercenary. And Rowan is a princess of the Kingdom of Verdana that doesn't want to be at all. And so she runs off with Sir and chases an adventuring life. And along the way, they gain more members of their kind of misfit found family. Melody Havensbrook, a bisexual disaster werewolf bard. Eldridge Miller, who's a trans mask monk of the Twin Fists. And maybe another member who hasn't joined quite yet. But yeah, it's an aggressively queer, rowdy, kind of punk energy fantasy story.
Yeah.
That we really, it's been such a delight to be able to create whole cloth. Yeah, it's something I love. And again, I will say, because this is a PG-13 show, Blade Maidens is not a PG-13 comic. That is a mature reader's comic.
It is, but it's so good. And it's just this fun, amazing queer romp. And oh, I love Rowan. She is my girl.
Rowan has my heart. Like, I love all of our babies so much, but Rowan's my girl.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody who's listening, definitely check it out. It is a really good time. Yeah. Okay, so for you, what has been the most surprising thing about your transition?
Surprising would probably be that I kind of, like, I was expecting going in, I was like, I'm going to be a femme girly, like, you know, girly girl, skirts, and makeup, and everything. And here I am, 5 years later, I never put on a full face of makeup, occasionally do eyeliner sometimes. And I've mastered what my friends call dirtbag lesbian chic.
It's so good on you, though.
Thank you. Which involves a lot of stupid hats, stupid ball caps, and tank tops that I've butchered with scissors. And yeah, just finding my identity and my style that ended up being something completely different than I thought it was going to be coming in.
Yeah.
It was just such a delightful surprise.
Yeah, that happened to me too. Everything, I mean, not everything, but probably most of the things at the start that I thought, oh, these are the clothes I'm going to get. I'm going to love these.
Yeah.
You know, you wear them a couple times and then a few months in, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. That's not who I thought I was going to be. It's so weird.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, I bought like a bunch of like pleated skirts and I was like, oh, I'm going to be so, and like, I'm going to be really, I know everyone has the like Circo Spinny moment.
Oh yeah.
I did it. And I was just like, all right. Yeah, it does go spinny. That is a fact. And I
Yeah.
very rarely ever wear skirts. Just like, turns out not my vibe.
Yeah, and that's totally
Yeah.
cool. I mean, everybody gets their gender euphoria from different
Yeah.
places, and I feel like I kind of went the other way, because when I started, I had mostly t-shirts and jeans, and then I've gradually just been adding more skirts and dresses as I've
Hell
gone.
yeah.
So, yeah, it's all part of finding yourself, in so many different ways that you don't expect.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because, like, while you're figuring out your style,
Yeah.
but I feel like I'm still figuring out my style
Sure. Even cis people deal with this.
because like when I was growing up, I was not allowed to choose my clothing. Like,
Yeah.
I was in a very restrictive sort of household where I was not allowed to have that kind of input. And so,
Yeah.
like, I was just flailing after I moved out. Like, I
Yeah.
didn't even know what I wanted. What? So I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, but over these past few years, I think you've really started to settle in on what feels like you.
I'm still trying, but yeah, I'm like the pickiest person in the world,
Well,
which
that's
does
true.
not help.
It's all a work in progress.
Exactly,
Yeah. Yeah.
exactly. All right, if you had one piece of advice for folks who were just starting their transitions, what would it be?
Be patient. Be
Yep.
patient and kind to yourself. Not just because of physical changes, because hey, not all trans people medically transition.
That's
Like,
right.
that may not be a factor for you. But like, if it is, if you are medically transitioning, physical changes are going to take longer than you think.
Yep.
Enjoy them as they come, but don't like I see these younger trans girls like crashing out because they're like 6 months in or a year in, and they expect to look one way, and I'm like,
Yeah.
some people get crazy lucky and their bodies go nuts, but
Right.
everyone's bodies are different, and you just got to be patient and let yours work at the pace it's going to work at.
Yeah.
And also kind with yourself, because it's a learning process. Like, you're gonna wear goofy outfits that 2 years from now you're gonna look back and be like, oh God.
Yeah.
You're gonna be if you're, again, if you are medically transitioning, you're gonna be a cocktail of hormones and
Yeah.
stress, and like, just know that you're going through it and that's okay, and you don't have to turn out, you're not Athena, you don't have to like turn out perfect like from the word go. It's
Yeah.
okay to take your time and figure out who you are in your terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we were just talking about, even with like
Yeah.
finding our style and our clothing,
Yeah.
or it takes time. You're not, most people are just not going to know right off the bat what's going
Yeah.
to suit them right, because we're all still figuring out who we are and who we want to be as part of this whole thing. So yes, that's always like my top advice too, is you just got to be patient with it and don't rush. We want to get out and push, but
Yeah.
unfortunately you can't. Okay, first, let me note that a version of this episode first appeared as an essay that was part of Visibility, an RPG magazine from the trans community. A group of trans creatives made a gaming magazine for Trans Day of Visibility to raise money for trans charities. It's still available and well worth picking up, and it supports important charities and includes multiple essays, a comic, and several ready-to-play complete games. So hit the link in the show notes and get great trans gaming stuff and support good causes. Okay, if you're not familiar, tabletop role-playing games, better known as TTRPGs, are things like the most well-known example, Dungeons and Dragons, where players make up characters to exist in a fictional world, and the person running the game master, better known as GM, or sometimes the dungeon master, aka DM, run players through the story and world they set up. They're sort of a combination of collaborative writing and acting, where you're all getting together to tell a story about these characters in a certain world. And there are stats that represent your character's abilities and dice rolls thrown in for a randomization element to determine whether your character succeeds or fails at what they're trying to do. And before I get too far into my specific experience with TTRPGs, I wanted to ask you, Zoe, specifically what your experience with them has been and what you love about them.
A lot of experience. Been playing since high school.
Yeah, same.
I primarily GM.
Me
I've got
too.
a yeah. I feel like a lot of writers end up GMing.
Yeah, it's a very similar skill set.
It is,
Yeah.
but I've got a D&D game with friends and my partner that has been running almost 2 years now. I've got a bunch of other like Eidolon Playtest,
Yeah.
which is a unique system that's tarot based.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, It's really rad. It's a great system. I played, like, you know, lots of other different, like, you know, Blades in the Dark and Masks and, like, you know, lots of other little systems. I've got one at home that I really want to play called Stew Pot that's, like, you run a fantasy tavern as retired adventurers. But yeah, like, I've played plenty as a player, primarily ran games, but done a ton. And it's just been a, like, long, long history.
What is it that you love about them so much?
I love the freedom, like, especially from running a game. I can never guess what my players are going to do. Which
Same.
Is, yeah.
You could try to plan and then they'll blow it up.
Yeah, which is why I think any GM that overly plans is just asking for disaster. Like, how I do it is I make, like, a basic skeleton of an idea, and then I go, and I know this is not going to last, so I'm giving myself room to wiggle. I love the absolute chaos and freedom, both in, like, you know, a funny, like, haha, like, you know, you just seduced the dragon kind of way.
Sure, yeah.
But also, like, huge dramatic character swings that I never would have seen coming that lead to, like, genuinely heartfelt moments at the table.
Yeah, yeah. I run two different Star Trek games in a shared universe, and they're usually really fun and kind of goofy, but then sometimes, like, one minor crew member on the ship got killed in an attack, and Susan here, her character is the captain of that ship, and she wrote a letter from the captain's perspective to that crew member's husband, explaining what had happened, and it was the saddest, sweetest, most beautiful thing, and it was so good. Oh, I love that
heart
stuff.
I would die.
Yeah. But it was really good.
I felt sad.
Well, that's because you're a good captain. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though we're the goofy, funny ship.
Your ship is, yes.
Hey, hey, you're talking to a Lower Decks girly. I have no problem with that.
Lower Decks, Lower Decks, Lower Decks.
Rita Strong. Yeah.
That's right. All right, so how exactly are TTRPGs trans? For me, as a kid pre-transition, it began with one sentence. Okay, fine, I'll be the girl. It was always said under fake duress, and I'm not what I'd call a good actor. Would my friends believe me, or were insults and worse just around the corner? I mean, I didn't think they would assault me, but they were certainly homophobic and transphobic in that way everyone is when you're raised in a society that teaches you to be exactly those things. And with media reinforcing that at almost every turn, mixed with the blinding, toxic masculinity that worms its way into young teen boys in the exact same way, you can just never be sure. Anytime I displayed any hint of femininity or girliness, I was mocked and punished for it, sometimes physically, sometimes by my own family. But sometimes the implicit biases of society can work in our favor. Well, rarely. They're very bad, actually, and should be flung into the sun, if one could fling an implicit bias anyway. Listen, someone should get on that for science. If you need more on what those are, check out episode 57 of this show on implicit queerphobia. But the same society that told this group of young teen boys, I was never actually a boy, of course, but you know what I mean, that the only valid emotions were lust and anger, the same society that told this group of young teen boys that anything feminine was to be derided and mocked because who could ever want to be that way, also told them that you had to have, quote unquote, the girl, the token, the one who's not a boy, just to have someone to do what the boys couldn't, like flirting with or seducing a man as a distraction, for surely a man could never do that. By the way, that was categorically the worst part, because I am completely, hopelessly gay for girls. But in those days of heady hormones and confusion, made extra unpleasant for me by the fact that I was going through the beginnings of the unimaginable body horror of the wrong puberty, when the darkness and oppressive weight and silence and loneliness and abject misery and terror of my gender dysphoria, which we covered in episode 59, were growing worse by the day. There was the smallest bit of light, the tiniest bit of hope in a little thing we discovered called Dungeons and Dragons. The tabletop role-playing world is so much more than just D&D. There are hundreds of different games, maybe thousands. My wife Susan and I here actually officially write for two games, Star Trek Adventures, based on the Star Trek franchise, and Fallout, based on the video games of the same name. But the ubiquitousness of D&D means it's a lot easier to find for kids who know nothing about TTRPGs. And I instantly fell in love, not just with D&D, but with the entire concept. You mean I get to create a character, some weird variant or amalgam of myself and things I'd like to be or things I want to explore, and I get to basically live as them for an afternoon? And to clarify, there was no live-action gameplay going on. This wasn't LARPing, which is live-action role-playing, where you dress and physically act as your character. This was dice and pencils and papers and mountains of D&D source books we all began acquiring, and entire Saturdays spent utterly buried in them, having the time of our lives. Okay, Zoe, what was your first experience with TTRPGs, and did it completely open up your imagination in, like, entirely new ways?
It was 4th edition D&D in high school.
Okay.
And it did. I ended up being a DM by default because none of my friends wanted to do it. And so I was like, okay, sure. And I have a very specific memory of trying to run the adventure in the back of the player's handbook, or DM's guide, I forget which one. There's, like, you know, a very standard adventure.
Yeah.
And players just went in a complete different direction. Like, they, like, in the way you would expect, like, new players and also high schoolers, like, one player was obsessed with, like, well, I have a rope in my inventory. Can I use it like Indiana Jones? And, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I remember I was like, there's no way for me to keep pulling from the book on this. And I had that moment that every GM has of, am I going to shut off a path to them and say, no, you can't do that? Or am I going to roll with it and, like, just start making it up as I go?
Yeah.
And I chose the second option, and it really just opened up, like, oh, wow, this can get crazy. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. I find that's the best way, because I want the games to be, for my players, like, as immersive as possible.
Yeah.
And so if they have an open world, an open universe to do whatever they want, I don't ever want to tell them, no, they can't. I might say it'll be difficult, but you can make this roll and try or whatever. But I never want to say no, because it's their game. And I, one of the most important things as a GM, I feel, is to make sure that your players are having a good time. Like, that's the number one job. Make sure everyone's having fun and being friendly with each other. So, yeah, I always try to keep that in mind. I don't want them to be sad or upset they couldn't do this cool idea they had. Well, let's try it.
The only time I would ever give a hard no is if it's something that makes another player uncomfortable at the table.
Exactly.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very much where I fell in love with them, was just, like, the freedom of, like, oh, okay, so you're leaving the town that this entire adventure is set in? Okay. You meet a traveling carnival and, like, just rolling with it from there. Loved them ever since.
I mean, to be fair, our games are populated mostly with other professional writers.
Yeah.
It's like a whole other level.
It is. It's extra.
Oh, torture.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is. It's good torture. I love it, though.
It's the fun torture.
That's right. It's the good kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for me, as a trans girl who didn't know she was trans, and one that has hyperphantasia to boot, which basically means my imagination is wildly overactive, and I can see, smell, taste, feel, hear absolutely everything I think about. And it goes even further than that. It is not hyperbole to say that I lived those game sessions as my characters. I didn't actually know I had hyperphantasia. I thought this was just how every brain works. But then I saw the aphantasia meme about what do you see when you picture an apple in your head going around. And there's this image of an apple in your head thing in the text version of this essay, but basically it has 5 numbered heads with different things inside them. 1 looks like a photorealistic apple, 2 looks like a cartoony and less defined apple, 3 is a black and white apple, 4 is an outline of an apple, and 5 is blank. And on that chart, I'm not a 1. I'd be a 0, because if you ask me to picture an apple, I can instantly see, smell, feel, taste, and hear it all. And not only that, I can tell you that her name is Beatrice, and she wields a thorny rose stem as a sword and is off on an adventure to save the orchard. And to be clear, I do not actively come up with that little story in my head. It just happens all the time. It's why I'm literally almost never bored, and why I say if I lived for 1,000 years, I could never write all the stories that are in my head. I thought everyone was like this, but no, turns out I'm just a weirdo. I embrace it, though. Yay. But given my hyperphantasia, our TTRPG sessions all played out like reality in my head. I could smell the leather of those magic boots I just found. I could feel the dust from the road caking their folds. I could hear that delicious leather rustle as my character put them on and became immune to sticky webs. Those feel so gross, don't even ask. The first time I played the girl in the party, it was like sticking my fingers into an electrical socket. Complimentary. My heart raced. I was sure my friends would notice and wonder what the hell was wrong with me, but they never did. They were always too busy consulting die tables in books and plotting strategy for how we were going to take down this ogre and save the village. And I didn't sit those things out, but I did them. mentally feeling what my wizard's robes felt like around her as she walked, or as close as I could imagine because I'd never worn a dress or a skirt, and it would be more than a decade before I did, before I even knew that trans was something a human could be. I almost always played wizards because I love the creativity, that ingenuity you need to know which spell to cast when. But a wizard has to wear a robe, right? It's just required. Yes, that seems right. It's not my fault wizard robes are basically a dress. Nobody could punch me for putting my wizard in a robe. That was just expected. Did you experiment with gender through TTRPGs, Zoe? Test things out, see how they felt?
So I didn't. Because, but almost in an opposite way, I'm the same way with like video games.
Yeah.
I was so aggressively aware that I was in the closet.
Oh, okay.
I had I was knocking on that door from like 15, but I had like a repressive shame cycle.
And sure.
Denied it until I was 28. But I was so aggressively aware that like, you know, if I do that, it will open the door, and then I have to think about things.
Sure.
So I did not ever play a woman or like I said, in video games, I would never do it. Because I was like, well, obviously, I'm so not a girl that it would actually be offensive if I played
yes,
as a woman.
Of
that
course.
Would be stolen valor.
And oh, yeah.
I would have to explain myself 11 million times over if someone saw it, and I just don't want to do that. So, no, I'm just going to be a cool dragonborn paladin who's full of angst.
Inexplicable angst, yes. What are you so angsty about?
Yeah,
who knows?
You know, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Well, I've lost a lot of memories of my pre-transition life from all the dissociating I was unknowingly doing just to cope with living with my dysphoria, so I don't remember my first character's name. I don't remember any of my characters' names from back then. They're entirely lost to me. But I remember the feelings they gave me, inklings that something was there, some synapse in my brain was firing on overdrive, sending jolts through my body that I didn't understand and wouldn't comprehend until I'd more than doubled my time on Earth. They were my very first hits of gender euphoria, which there's an essay about at tillystranstuesdays.com. So as I watched my body contort and warp from the wrong puberty and become everything in the world that I hated and never wanted to be, I lived for these games because they let me live. If only for half a day at a time, 8 to 12 hour marathons fueled by way too much caffeine, because those were the only times I felt alive. TTRPGs let trans people explore the seemingly impossible, even if we don't yet know we're trans. They're the only way we can try out a new gender, a new pronoun, a new name in an entirely quote-unquote socially acceptable setting because society deems it, quote, only a game. But that only goes so far. When our group found the first cis girl who was into D&D and wanted to join a game, to everyone's credit, she was welcomed in, but the implicit bias I'd found a loophole in loopholed me back. Now that we had a cis girl in the game, there was no need for me to play one because the token girl could be played by the seemingly only actual girl. You can't have two girls in the same adventuring party. What is this, the mascara? That's where Wonder Woman's from or where the Amazons live? Listen, my nerdiness is large, huge. And this lifeline I'd had, this secret joy and first doorway to my true self was slamming shut in my face. So I rolled up a dude character and my heart broke. In our first session, I was so disinterested and didn't understand why I was no longer into this game that I loved. It didn't make sense. Until the loophole that loopholed me back got loopholed again. Because toxic masculinity and implicit transphobia said a perceived boy doing something like or being like a perceived girl was hilarious. For more on just how much the idea of a perceived boy or man doing something feminine is a thing to be mocked, check out my 2022, 2023, and 2024 Trans Rep in Media reports in episodes 3, 52 to 54, and 97 to 99. But my friends thought it would be so funny if now that I quote unquote finally got to play a man, my quote unquote real gender, they conspired for the DM to have a magic belt come into my possession. None of us knew what this belt did. I see your face, Zoe. And I have a very throw caution to the wind player, so I just put it on. You D&D heads know where this is going. I can see you nodding through space and time because it's so obvious. It was a girdle of femininity / masculinity, a quote-unquote cursed item, which changes the sex / gender of the character who puts it on. Suddenly, my dude was a lady again. Ha ha ha, surprise. Oh man, we got you. They laughed and they laughed. Even our new player, the quote-unquote actual girl, laughed. So funny. but a smile crept across my face. They all thought I was a good sport and also found it funny, but inside, that synapse was firing. A reprieve, an escape, a blessing. My lifeline returned. I could make it through the horrors of dysphoria, through this tiny crack in the walls of reality. He was a she. Again, for real, he was always a she. Our world isn't full of magic and dragons, so it's only a dream. I could never actually be a girl, could I? What I wouldn't give, if only. So let's enjoy it while we can. Thanks for being here, Zoe.
Yeah, of course. The amount of times I remember growing up being like, well, like for me, it was Ranma specifically, but it was like,
yeah, oh yeah.
If I could have a magical thing that could turn me back, well, that'd be fine. Because then people wouldn't think I was weird if I could turn back.
Exactly.
Even though I'd be much happier as a girl. But yeah, and so I can just imagine I would react the exact same way if that happened to me.
Yeah, it was such a blessing. I played that gender-swapped character until she was level 25, I think. She just never got around to removing the curse of that girdle. Listen, there were monsters to slay and innocent villagers to save.
Yeah, of course. You gotta have your priorities.
That's right. It's a busy life. Yeah. And I never let her go because she wasn't the one who started as a girl. She was the one who the world thought was a man, but then suddenly a woman. She was me. I wish I could remember what I named her. So as my friends sat there laughing at what society told them to laugh at, I imagined the skirt of the wizard robe flowing around me again. I felt it on my legs. I wonder if it would spin if I twirled. I bet it would. Wouldn't that feel cool? Let's vanquish evil and make the world a better place. And if our skirt goes spinny in the process, well, all the better. So my smile grew. Okay, fine. I'll be the girl. Tilly Bridges. End transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges at mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.